أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوشك الأمم أن تداعى عليكم كما تداعى الآقلة إلى قصعتها قال قائل ومن قلة يومئذ نحن قال بل أنتم يومئذ كثير ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل ولا ينزعن الله من صدور عدوكم المهابة منكم ولا يقذفن في قلوبكم الوهن قال من الوهن قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected elders, brothers and young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته In contrast to the state that the Ummah finds itself in today, when we have to reflect in our glorious and golden history, the period of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, and in particular in the time of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, it was the golden era of the believers, and the first conquest of Jerusalem, of Palestine, took place in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an. And if we have to reflect over the environment, the conditions, the situation, the behavior of the people, what happened at that time, and if we acquaint ourselves, it will be a means of great reflection for understanding our current situation. And there are great lessons to be learned. Today, a lot of time is spent in following different heroes. The heroes are the sports players, or Allah forbid, the actors. But yet, that doesn't help us anyway in this world. It's detrimental to us in the hereafter. And if we have to reflect and learn our history, then there is so much for us to take from that and implement in our lives to make our lives in this world better, and more importantly, to establish our capital in the hereafter. So I thought today of just reflecting on some of the incidents that took place around the time of the conquest of Jerusalem in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So brothers, it's a lengthy discussion and we don't have time to go into all of the details, so we'll touch on a few aspects. And to begin with, the context is, this is around the time of the 15th year after Hijrah. The believers, the Muslim armies were spreading out into the Levant, into the area which is known as Syria today, Syria, Jordan, in those areas. The Muslims had become victorious in the Battle of Yarmouk, which is an entire different discussion. But just for a little bit of context, it was a battle in which the Roman Empire, the Byzantine, which is the Eastern Roman Empire, had over 100,000 forces, 100,000 fighters. And they were defeated by a force of 25,000 believers. In fact, the historians have written that over 70,000 of them were killed in the Battle of Yarmouk. So it is after this time. And facing this decisive defeat, the leader, the commander of the Romans in Jerusalem, he requests backup because they're expecting now that the Muslims will now turn their attention to here. Likewise, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an, who was in the vicinity of Jerusalem, he writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu an explaining the situation. He writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu an explaining the situation that now there is going to be a determined effort from the Christians to protect Jerusalem. Here again, brothers, there is a great lesson that the coordination and the efforts that took place in a coordinated way by the believers. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, together with strategizing Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an, he writes back and they decide that they will split the armies around the surrounding areas of Jerusalem, like Ramla and Jabiya and Ajnadain, a few areas like this. Initially the Muslims did not congregate in one area. They split their resources in order to divert the attention of the enemy armies. And again here, there is great lesson in the approach that is adopted. Things will not just happen automatically. A strategy has to be adopted. A coordinated effort has to be adopted in order to overcome any kind of oppression. Now, brothers, some may be thinking, what are we talking about? We are talking about the repelling of oppression in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. Times will come where the oppression that is taking place in the land can only be faced against through a physical uprising. A wise person was asked that, you know, how do we get peace? How do we get peace in the world? So he says, by preparing for war. When you are prepared for war, then you will have peace, because that itself is a deterrent. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, forces are sent and dispatched into different regions. Around the same time, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu an, who had an army of approximately 35,000 in the other areas of Syria, under great leaders like Khalid ibn al-Walid, Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, Shurahbil ibn Hassana, Armilqal ibn Qasim ibn Abi Waqqas. I'm saying these names, brothers, deliberately, so that we reflect that have we heard the names of these heroes of ours? Have we heard the names of these heroes? Al-Musayyib ibn Nujaybah al-Hazari, Qais ibn Hubayr al-Muradi, Urwa ibn Hilal ibn Yazid, an army of 35,000 that was broken up into approximately groups of 5,000 each under 7 leaders. Again, what do we learn? What we learn is that the Muslims were a very, very organized and a structured force. It was a very, very organized methodology in which things were happening. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu an, nevertheless, prior to this, a very, very significant battle takes place on the outskirts of Jerusalem called the Battle of Ajnadain, in which the Muslims decisively defeat the Christians. And their leader, who was known as Artabun, the sub-commander of the emperor of the Christians, of the Roman Empire, he flees and he enters into Jerusalem. Now, at this point, at this juncture, all of the forces, all of the resources are then directed and come around Jerusalem. Brothers, we sometimes think, we hear that this happened. How did it happen? What happened? You know, it's something that we need to acquaint ourselves so we can understand it and apply to the time. It didn't happen overnight. The historians write that over a period of 4 months, at least 4 months, that the Muslims were encamped and had sieged. And that siege was of such a nature that all of the resources that you can think of the time, the technology of the time, they had it at their disposal. The different types of weapons. They had, at that time, one of the weapons that was in vogue was the catapult that was also arranged. So it is a lesson for us also that at the various times that are required, that action is required, that we want to bring about change, then it requires that we adopt the different technologies and the resources of the time. We adopt the different technologies and the resources of the time. We cannot be oblivious to what is happening around. If we are in a time when whatever technology is on the rise, then our people must be focused on that. In fact, I was reading a few days ago in the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, that one of the concerns that he had, one of the concerns that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh had, was that people that were engaged in trade began to become a bit less, and they were getting involved in other vocations and salaried, as we would call today salaried. People that were in genuine trade, buying and selling. This was one of the concerns of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh. So whatever the needs of the time were, the believers and the Muslims were not oblivious to those needs. They were not oblivious to the needs of the time. Then another important lesson is that at that time, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anh was perhaps towards the southern regions of Palestine. He moves his force now towards Jerusalem, and they engage in the siege for over a period of 4 months. And during this period, some very interesting incidents are recorded in the history books. One of them is that the commander of the Christians writes a letter to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an, and according to some, it was written to Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu an. But before that, one important point is, at the crucial moment, there was a mobilization of all the forces and all the resources to address the critical situation that was about to take place. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anh came from. He was not, although there was a great opportunity, the historians write, there was great booty. He had also engaged in some significant conquests. It wasn't, the fighting was not about control over land and over resources. It was genuinely about the establishment of deen and repelling oppression in the land. It was genuinely about that. So Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anh also comes, and this letter is received. The letter is received, and the believers at that time, they write, great leaders of the Muslims were together. Although the commander was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anh, people like Hazrat Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, we mentioned earlier Shurahbil ibn Hassana, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anh, all these great leaders, they sat together and they strategized. There was a mutual consultation. Another very, very important lesson, that the leaders will be not those that are engaging in personal attacks upon one another, that I have this approach and you have that approach. It is going to be something where there is a coordinated effort and a focusing and a mobilizing of the resources in one place. So the letter that comes, what does it say? The letter says to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anh that, you know, you have a very, very, very unlikely, in fact, it is impossible for you to take over Jerusalem, because many have failed before you. Many have failed before you. And here, Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, the historian is right, he replied, and he sent back with full confidence that we have come for establishing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and definitely that is what we will do. Definitely, this is what we will only rest once we have achieved this, and I will be the one. This is the message that he sent. I will most certainly be the one who will engage in the conquest of Jerusalem. And he tells the messenger that look at what the response is. Look at what is the response of the commander when he receives this letter. So the messenger takes the letter, and when he observes, he notices that the commander begins to laugh, and he says that the person who in our books is going to engage in the conquest of Jerusalem, it's a man by the name of Umar, it's not someone by the name of Amr. So this information is brought back to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Immediately he writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Immediately he writes, because it was not about his ego. It was not about that the leader must be the one to, it's not for his own personal credit. And this is one of the weaknesses that we have in our day and age, that leadership has become about ego. Leadership has become that some things and things, anything good that happens, any type of progress that happens, it must be attributed to the leaders. This was not there at the time of our golden era. Immediately Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he says that this is the situation. This is the situation, that there is a understanding amongst them that when you come, that when you are here, then there will be a chance of the believers taking control of Jerusalem. Nevertheless, during this period, another interesting incident occurred, that the Christians wrote again to, this time it was Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, that send us someone who can explain to us, what is your message? What is it that you want? What is your message? What is it that you want? So they sent, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu sends Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal, as he's entering the place that the meeting was supposed to take place, it is beautified with the most elaborate of carpets and seating area. And servants come around him and try to take his horse, and he refuses. He repels them. And he says, I am not one to be taken over by this pomp and wealth and opulence that is being displayed around me. And he refuses to even sit down on that carpet. And he tells them that I am not about to sit down on this carpet that you have gotten through oppressing the weak ones amongst you. That you have gotten through rejecting and prioritizing yourselves over the poor and the weak amongst you. He refused to sit down. And the discussions happen. And the discussions happen. He begins to explain to them and give them the da'wat of deen. Now this is another very, very important lesson. It's a very, very important lesson. Brothers, just through the war that is taking place now currently, how many people's eyes have been opened to the teachings of deen without us making any effort? Without us. So one of the weaknesses that we have today is that a structured and a conscious effort towards calling the non-Muslims to Islam is something that has been lost in the ummah. And the worry and the fikr of it is also no longer there. So Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, he engages with them. He quotes them verses of the Quran Sharif explaining what is the message of Islam. And they try to beguile him to say that, look, you know, what is this that you are, we will give you things of this world. He is not taken by those. And then they try to put forward to him the message of, let us engage in a truce. Now at that time, the believers, the Muslim Ummah, and through the strategy that the leaders of the Muslims had put down, they were very, very clear that it was an opportune time for the conquest of Jerusalem. So he repels that suggestion of a truce, and he says to them that the options before you are that you pay the jizya and you submit to the command of the believers. You pay the jizya, which was the tax that was levied for the protection of the disbelievers. So again here, there's a very, very important lesson to understand. And if we have time, we will discuss the actual treaty that was signed by the Muslims and the Christians. But when the Muslims did take over, ultimately when they did take over Jerusalem, it was a peaceful transition of power. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in the document that was prepared, to the extent that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu noted in there that your places of worship, in fact even the word crosses appears, even your crosses will not be desecrated. So this propaganda that is out there in the world today, that the believers and the Muslims, na'uzubillah, Allah forbid, are those that are extreme people. They are not willing to be tolerant. This is a propaganda. And if we sit silent and we don't do anything, we don't even try and pass the message on, we just carry on in our mundane activities. Like I reflect all the time myself also, that the bulk of our time and our efforts goes in earning the livelihood. And that has become the be-all and sum-all of our lives. Not that it is not permissible, but brothers, there are times when priorities are there. So at the time of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anh gives this message, and then thereafter he comes back, and around the same time, a few months had passed, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh now comes to a place called Jabia, which is roughly approximately 20 kilometers out of Jerusalem. 20 kilometers out of Jerusalem, and they make the preparations to enter into the city. And he is riding a donkey as he is entering, and he is sharing. In fact, in some, many of us have heard the story where Hazrat Umar radiallahu an is sharing the conveyance with his assistant, and they are exchanging chances to sit on the conveyance. But in some narrations, an amazing thing is mentioned, that not only that, even the shoes that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was wearing, that sometimes they were even exchanging the shoes that he would be wearing. So this reflects to us also the extreme simplicity. I forgot to mention another very interesting incident that took place. Around this time, when the believers were all congregating on the outskirts of Jerusalem, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah had come and met Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu after a long time. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was very, very close with that Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And he asked him, he says, "Brother, let us go and visit where you are staying and how you are living. I want to see." So he said, "Just leave it, man. What are you worried about? Don't bother yourself. You're just going to, you know." He says, "No, I really want to come and see you. How are you? What's your condition like?" So they go to the place that he is staying, and there is literally nothing, brothers. Literally nothing in one of the great, in the houses or the place of abode or one of the great commanders of the believers. So again, a very, very great lesson. In fact, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, where are the things? Where are your things? Where's your property? There was a sword there. There was a shield there. He said, "Don't you have any food also?" So he took out a basket in which there was a little bit of broken bread in there. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that this dunya can't deceive you, Abu Ubaidah. This dunya can't deceive you. Now, I'm not saying that we are going to get to that level. But the extent to which luxury and things of opulence have occupied and preoccupied our hearts and minds, brothers, this is one of the reasons that we have become weak as an ummah. It is one of the reasons that we have become weak as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he then comes into the city, and there is an agreement. They realize that this is in their books, that he is the one that is going to engage in the conquest of Jerusalem, and a pact is signed in which there is full protection for the lives of the believers. In fact, to the extent that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that even other nationalities that may try and come and take opportunity, like the Jews, etc., from this situation in a shift in power, they will not be allowed to desecrate and to come and take over the place and of abode of the Christians, provided that they agree to live in harmony with the believers. And history bears testimony to this fact, that when the Muslims took control, then there was great amount of peace and harmony. It was done in a very, very civil manner, not like how things are being done today. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So Brothers, the incident is very, very lengthy. You know, there are much more details. The purpose is that, you know, we need to reflect. We need to reflect over our history. Some of the actions that we can take. Because it's very good to hear a talk and then come out and say, now, you know what, it's something that was there, finished. What are the actions that we can take today? What are the practical things that we can do? Some of the practical things that we can do is, to a degree, start bringing about some level of simplicity in our lives. Some degree. Whatever we can. It may not be easy, and we can, no person can judge another person in this regard. But whatever luxuries we have, whatever extra things that we have, start trying to disassociate ourselves with things of extra in our lives and time and effort that we are there. Then let us see, as especially the youth, I'm saying, the resources that we have in our ability. Adopt the most effective resources and knowledge. We must be very, very careful about what we are even studying. Sometimes the things that we are learning, is it contributing to our betterment in this world or the hereafter? Reflect. The West and the enemies of Islam, the things that they are, in fact, someone has given some statistic I was reading the other day, that among the Nobel Prizes that are there in the world, that reflects the innovation and the progress, the contribution to society that has been made, Muslims hardly feature. And the Jews as a percent, something like over 20% of the Nobel Prizes are gotten by people that are not even 0.3% of the world. Now, not that that is the only measure of contribution, but brothers, our time and our youth in particular, our time and effort goes in what? What is the latest car? What was the latest thing that's happening on social media? What's happening in sports? So we really need to recheck and reflect over our condition. If a change is going to happen, it's not going to happen overnight. We have to prepare ourselves for bringing about this change on a long-term basis. On a long-term basis. So, the adopting the most effective strategy to achieve our objective. The objective may not happen 1 year or 2 years. Allah knows when that victory will come. But our youth are there today. We can start reflecting on what are those things which I must spend my time on. Protect your time. The third thing that we also recognize and we understand and we can take action of, whatever the means are of the day, we should be adopting the means. If the means of today is that the power of social, particularly social media, in creating awareness about what is happening, we must do that over it and to conscientize people what is happening. Rather than sitting quiet and everything is happening around ourselves, open, flagrigation and violation of the basic laws of humanity is taking place in front of us, and we carry on about our lives, everything going on as normal. So adopt the technologies of the time. The other aspect that we learn is perseverance. Perseverance, the coordination organizations are working, our leaders in the community or the leaders of different sectors and professionals, etc. There can be some sort of coordination to give a coordinated response and a effort towards removing any kind of difficulty that is there. We learn this lesson from the history of our golden era. Then we also learned the lesson of the concentration of our resources. The concentration of our resources at crucial times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. There is a lot that can be said, and there is a lot for us to learn from the history, the golden history of our pious predecessors. May Allah remove the difficulties, the hardships facing the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.